Happy Thursday, everybody. It's Rich Birch from the Unseminary Podcast. I am so honored that you decided to tune in today. I know you've got a lot going on, and we're honored that you put us in your earbuds and dive in today. We've got not one, but two guests on the podcast, and we're diving into a question that so many church leaders are asking. We're diving deep to try to help you out. I also know a question that so many church leaders are asking is, where is the next you coming from? I know you're wrestling through and thinking about, how are you going to fill the leadership gaps that are coming in your church? Well, Leadership Pathway helps churches like yours begin a residency program or take your internship program to a whole next level. Surely you've stopped and thought, or maybe even forced to think, as we're kicking off this year, where is the next staff member coming from? Leadership Pathway answers that question by helping churches like you develop the pathways internally through leadership residency programs. Listen, I want you to tune in with these people. They're going to do the heavy lifting, the DISC assessment, the strength finder. They'll chase down the references. By the time you're looking at potential residences, they you could be guaranteed that these are the kind of people that have passed their grading system and are ready for your church. Think about them for headhunting, really as headhunters for residences, but more, way more than that. They also provide coaching for you and the residents through the entire experience. Their goal is to hold your hand through the entire process. Listen, what I want you to do is to go to leadershippathway.org/unseminary today and book a phone call with Dave, my buddy Dave, leadershippathway.org/unseminary. You're going to want to talk with them. All right, well, let's tune into this week's episode. I'm sure you're going to find it helpful. Let's go.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up, and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. I am so glad that you have tuned in. I think you're going to be rewarded for that today. I'm super excited about today's conversation. It's a whole topic of conversation I've been really interested in, and you're going to hear from some on-the-ground experts today. You're going to be rewarded for tuning in. We are talking about a church called Life Bridge Christian Church. This is a fantastic church. It was planted way back in 1891 and then changed its name both into 1999. It's a fantastic church, growing church. We've got two leaders on the phone today. We've got Sean Badir, the Connections pastor, and David Ramirez. Sean and David, welcome to the show. So glad you're here today.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so glad you're here. Sean, I wonder if we could start with you actually telling us a little bit about the church. If people were to arrive this weekend, kind of what would they experience? Give us a flavor of the church.
Yeah, so Life Bridge is in Longmont, Colorado. It's a town just north of Denver in Boulder County. So being in Boulder County, I mean, is a different culture for sure. I mean, I grew up in Nebraska, and being out there has been a big adaptation for me. But I can tell you, one of the things I love about LifeBridge that I think a lot of people experience when they come on a weekend is that LifeBridge is a church that cares immensely about investing in the local community, the community around us. Our senior pastor, Rick Russo, who's been there for now 28 years, he's just invested in that topic a lot, has done lots of work to really ensure that LifeBridge isn't just the best church in the community, but is the best church for the community.
Oh, that's good. And what would be some of the things that, you know, you've done as a church that are pushing in that direction? You know, what would be the kinds of things that ensuring that, you know, LifeBridge is the best church for the community?
Yeah. So LifeBridge has actually started a number of nonprofits within the church that have launched out into community organizations. Which I think is just a testimony of how much that's been a value of ours for a long time. Whether it's single moms ministry or a ministry to adopt foster kids and encourage families to adopt foster kids, there's just a number of great nonprofit organizations that have launched out of our church.
Very cool. Well, one of the things we've talked about before, and this isn't really germane to what we're talking about here today, but just to underline for our listeners that, you know, growing churches that are making an impact in their community are doing exactly what your church is doing. They're trying to find a way to connect to the real needs of their community. That's, you know, we see that time and time again, you know, across so many different churches. So I'm super excited to have you on the call today. David, why don't you tell us a little bit about your role? Give us a bit of your, you know, what are you doing at LifeBridge? How are you get connected to this story as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the guest services coordinator. So I lead a team of 7 people who in turn lead a team of 250 volunteers.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and then also as a resident, I also am learning and getting different tastes of different ministries as I continue at LifeBridge.
Very cool. Now, you have been, you're a resident here, a second year resident at LifeBridge. When people ask you, what is a resident? What is that? Are you like a doctor? What is that?
Yeah, I get that question a lot. So what a resident is, it takes a little bit more of a focus on learning rather than an internship getting a focus on just getting a job. Like my goal at LifeBridge is not to leave there with a job at LifeBridge, but more on the focus of make sure I've learned everything I can about ministry and maybe getting a job elsewhere. But
Very cool. Well, Sean, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about LifeBridge's history with this whole area of internship and residency. We've talked about and kind of mentioned it around on seminary. The thing that I'm excited about today is to give people a real life example to kind of open the hood and look under the hood a little bit and to talk that through a little bit, understand it both from your perspective and from David's perspective. So why don't you give us a sense of your history as a church around, you know, this whole area of, you know, internships broadly and then residency more specific?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we, again, you mentioned we're a church that's got a lot of history. So, you know, back in the 1800s, LifeBridge was launched. So it's over 125 years old. So There's definitely history around internships and residency at LifeBridge. I remember just coming on staff, and realizing that a lot of the, you know, brokenness that the church was experiencing around residency had some deep roots just because of how long the church has been around and how many different things it had tried. So I felt like, you know, residency was something that I cared deeply about and wanted to make sure was a value of ours, just because internships seem to be a failing method for a lot of reasons for local churches, just not producing the kind of results that churches need out of them, and also kind of leaving students or candidates hanging at the end of an internship, wondering what's next, wondering what they actually got out of the experience. So residency really just represents a different model that's a really intentional 2-year path towards helping people like David get everything that they need to be super highly desired by local churches and hireable at the end.
Mm-hmm. Now, to pull out a little bit of a nuance there, again, I'm going to play the person who's listening in who knows nothing about what you're talking about. But the, you know, from what I've kind of my cursory understanding, you know, internships in a lot of ways, if I can be as so crass as to say this, is almost like, or can be, a way for churches to say, hey, how do we get free labor or cheap labor, you know, to get things done? Where residency is more resident-centric. It's more saying, as a church, how do we partner with a young leader and see them develop? Obviously, that has benefit to the church as well, but it's a more of a developmental approach, focusing around particularly residents. Is that true, or nuance my thinking on that, Sean?
Absolutely. I always look at it like, I think internships tend to look at the short game around how can we get the most out of the student in the next 3 months, because most of them are happening during the summer or something like that. And so it's just trying to throw them in and see how much they can get done over the course of those 3 months, which I understand. I mean, I work at a church and I see the need for that every day of having extra hands on deck. But residency really is taking the long game approach to say, we know this is going to actually be more work for us up front. Like those first 6 months, as David, I'm sure, can tell you, are not easy for anybody. It's a lot of work and a lot of just uncertainty around it and figuring out how this works, how this fits, what David's gifts are, and how we can help this be a really great experience for him.
Well, David, why don't we get you to describe that? Kind of talk about, from your perspective, how have you been developing through this experience? How long have you been in the residency, and what, if you can kind of chunk it up into a couple phases of, you know, how you've seen, you know, Sean and the team at the church kind of give back to you? What has that looked like? How have you benefited from that?
Yeah. So it'll be 1 year with LifeBridge on the 23rd of January.
Nice. Okay.
So I haven't even been there a year, but I've really learned a lot about, like, I'm sorry, corporate things.
No,
like, like filing paperwork, how to use central.
I don't know if he's learned anything.
No, it's fine.
I'll tell you. I mean, I think David's selling himself short in a lot of ways. One of the things David's really brought to the team is leading this team of guest services volunteers that he meets with regularly. He's learning a lot of stuff beyond the doing the tasks, and I think he's done a great job leading it at all sorts of levels, whether it's teaching in our student ministry or leading those volunteers that he leads every weekend and making sure that all those pieces come together on a weekend. He's really been able to contribute at a high level over just his first year.
Yeah. And what, Sean, from your perspective, how have you, I'm sure a part of what you've done is structured your interactions with David in a way that's, you know, helping him develop. What has that looked like from your end? Kind of what has been your, you know, your input that would look a little bit different than say, hey, here's a list of tasks for you to do. Like, oh, here's a, you know, do these things, as opposed to like, hey, here's how I want to help you grow through this experience.
Yeah. There's a few different angles that I take to it, and really just a few components that I think are really critical to the success of his residency. Mm-hmm. And one of them, first and foremost, is just making sure that he has something very real to own. That it's not something that I'm letting him just be involved in, but over the first 6 months, I mean, there's a lot of that, just him watching how things are done and making sure that he's comfortable getting his feet under him. But pretty soon after that, I was handing off a lot of really real responsibility to him. And then being there to support when something goes wrong or when there's a failure that happens that he's responsible for, just to make sure that those failures take him forward and mm-hmm. don't take him out of the game. So handing him real responsibility is one big one. And another one is just really intentional coaching, making sure that I am regularly meeting with him and helping him through this experience. So I meet with him once a week for about an hour, and we cover, sometimes it's more structured leadership topics. And most of the time it's just checking in and seeing what's going through his mind and what are the things that he's wrestling with or growing in and wants to excel in over the course of the next months.
Very cool. David, when you think, I'm sure that, you know, you have other, you know, contemporaries, friends who were, you know, in school with you, they're out in their first role. I know when I first started in ministry, you know, it was a little rocky, to be honest. I just kind of went the typical route. I kind of got dumped in as a youth pastor at this church. And I still remember those early days being like, I really have no idea what to do. I don't know, you know, where to start. Like that was, you know, that was just the reality of it. As you've, you know, maybe interacted with other folks who are starting out in ministry, maybe some, you know, contemporaries or friends, have you, you know, seen a difference in your kind of initial experience over this last year versus theirs? And maybe what are some of those differences that you've maybe noticed or heard about as you think about it from your perspective as a new resident?
Yeah. So as a new resident, I'm surprised people aren't when they do an internship. When I hear the word internship, I think like, oh, like you were saying, like the church is using them for free labor, mm-hmm. stuff like that. I've comparatively, I'm getting through the program really quick, and that's really mm-hmm. it's really weird to see my counterparts like, yeah, this is my third year internship. I'm like, well, that something's not right. So I
right, it's taking forever.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. And,
yeah.
No, that's cool. Good. Go ahead.
I was actually going to be hired at a church before I came out to LifeBridge.
Okay.
So in Omaha where I was living, I was doing an internship at a church and I was learning a few things here and there, and they're like, "All right, David, it's time. We're going to get you hired. We need you to support raise at least $1,000 a month." And
oh, wow.
You're going to be pastor. You're going to be a connections pastor. I'm like, I don't think that's going to be and I chose this position one because the head pastor just resigned, and that's primarily why I was there. But also this residency has given me a lot of space to fail and not feeling the brunt of like the congregation or like anything like that kind of pressure. There's still a lot of pressure around the responsibilities I have, But as far as that goes, I still have definitely a safety net for sure.
Yeah, totally. Sean, from your perspective, I'm sure there are people that are listening in. Now, it's not everybody. You know, there are some people who are listening in that may be a little bit cynical, saying like, man, like, I know he's only saying it's an hour a week investment, but I'm just not sure, you know, I can make that. And, you know, is it worth it? And should I be investing in a leader who, you know, David may end up staying at the church, but may not, right? He may end up launching off and ending up in a different ministry somewhere. How do you think about that issue? And how do you think, okay, you know, kind of balance off the, you know, short-term needs versus, you know, the development of other people? How does all that work in your head, Sean?
Yeah, I have this feeling that we as the church really can't afford to not invest in the next generation at this level. And that's because I just see constantly the need for great young leaders in the local church. I think if the next generation is going to find hope in Jesus, it's going to be through the local church. And it's going to be because God's using young people who invest in and dive in deeper and really take this on. So I constantly have that feeling about this. And I it's not like, I mean, that sounds like maybe too unpractical or tactical, but really what this comes down, I mean, an hour a week is a significant commitment, but it always keeps at the forefront of my mind that this is about David's experience and his development. Mm-hmm. And if he develops into somebody who would be a great hire for our church, then it's completely worth it. Cause I see the value of that every day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why don't you comment around, you know, and you kind of mentioned this earlier that you've been, you know, you've just loved the kind of energy and the leadership that he's brought to, you know, the various areas within, you know, your particular area at the church. Can you flesh that a little bit more? What are, you know, how have you seen this kind of benefit your ministry area, you know, having a young leader? Because there may be people who are a little skeptical on that front that would say like, I don't know, people who are just out of school, not sure that, you know, I'm a little nervous about what that might look like. Can you comment on that?
Right. So first and foremost, I think this is a great low risk way to bring in somebody onto your team who's got a lot of energy and a lot of potential. So it really does feel like a low risk option. And we've definitely had failed residencies, even in my time there, just around a resident who came and in the first 3 months bowed out of the experience because they didn't want to do it anymore. And so I've seen, you know, it's not all been roses. It's been a lot of difficulty and there's a lot of work that's gone into that too. And work that hasn't produced into what we hoped it would produce. Mm. What I've constantly seen is that I'm reminded all the time, the value of doing this. I mean, there's plenty of headhunting organizations for the local church out there. And if you know anything about what that costs financially, not even what it costs, from a staffing standpoint and from an energy standpoint, but like right. What it costs financially is unbelievable. And, right. To me, that's just a symptom of the fact that we need to be better at leadership development in the local church. We have to fix this problem of developing young leaders into hireable staff who are going to really take this on in a full-time capacity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you know, you've kind of mentioned, you know, this through this whole process, you know, one of the things that a leadership pathway brings to the equation really is, you know, this idea of helping both the residents and the organization, the church in this case, you know, through the process. Can you give us a sense of what that has looked like from your perspective, Sean, as, you know, the selection and then coaching, all of that? How is Leadership Pathway helping churches like yours with residency experiences like this?
Yeah, that's great. So part of it is a little tricky for us just because of my involvement with Leadership Pathway and being on staff at LifeBridge. You know, I don't hide that at all. You know, I'm full-time at LifeBridge and that's what I do. But then I get the opportunity to help with Leadership Pathway just because I care so much about this, this mission and vision. For me, what it's really provided, even having a network of other churches that are doing this, constantly getting to chat with churches who are doing residency, and even churches around us locally, there's churches in the Longmont area that are doing residency, and being able to collaborate with them and help come together on this has provided a lot of support around it. I also think the leadership pathway curriculum around these 24 core competencies that every leader needs to know and needs to grow in, and every resident gets a chance to focus on during their residency, has provided a really useful framework, even if it's not a really rigid approach with David, which it's not usually. I mean, usually our coaching sessions are more topical around the specific things that he's working on. Mm-hmm. But those core competencies help a lot just around giving some context for his development.
Very cool. And that that coaching, how is that delivered to, because I do think this is one of those areas of leadership pathway that I want people to be clear on, that, you know, some people might find it daunting to say, like, gosh, like, I've got to spend an hour a week with this resident. I can get my head around getting the schedule for that. I'm not sure what to talk about. But Leadership Pathway actually provides some coaching around that, actually provides some resources to help, right?
That's right. And we really coach the coaches. And I think sometimes people think that it's more useful to have a coach from outside come in and meet with their residents or with their staff. And really, we think the best coaching comes from within the church, just because it's so contextualized at that point.
Oh, that's good.
And so what we actually do is we come in and help coach these coaches that are on staff at the church on how to develop these residents.
Interesting. Fascinating. David, how would you say, you know, when you kind of nuance or think about the difference between what you learned, say, in the classroom through that experience versus, you know, what you're learning in residency, what does that look like for you as, you know, as a leader, when you think about your own personal development, how is this different than, you know, what you've kind of typically learned in class when you were, you know, in school?
Yeah. The thing about like the school is that you get great ministry training as far as like scripture and what this means and context. But the thing about leadership, it's all theory. Like anytime we have like a leadership class, it's all theory. We don't really have any way to play that out in the classroom. As far as a resident goes, like I couldn't imagine taking that job back home, because like I've never even had a desk job before, like let alone been a pastor. And this has taught me a lot about like even the culture around like what to say, what not to say, and as far as like what's the word, as far as like dealing with volunteers and hard mm-hmm. people, like people mm-hmm. you really couldn't fire. But right. just working around and redirecting volunteers, that's another big component as my residency focuses around volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's obviously so different. It's one thing to read about all that in theory, and then it's different to have Bob the volunteer standing in front of you.
And,
yes. You know, how do we actually care for and love that guy, and then see that person get plugged in, and then see them get connected? And absolutely, that you know, I can see that for sure. That's fantastic. Now, Sean, when you think about the future of residency, you know, at your church, you know, are you thinking about doing more residents down the road? You know, is this the kind of thing you could picture kind of rolling from one resident to the next, or maybe, so there's specifically at LifeBridge, and then maybe more broadly, what is the best practice that you're seeing in churches that seem to really, you know, that this seems to be a real benefit for the residents and for the church? What are they doing? Are they rolling from one to the next, or are they taking breaks in between? How does that work typically?
Yeah. So a lot of churches that I think do this really successfully usually just start with one resident or a couple residents. And I think it's interesting because I feel like every church always walks in hoping to do like 10 to 20 residents and start launch a huge residency right. program. Right. And which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. But what I've often seen is that sometimes when we walk in with that mindset, we forget that this is about getting the most out of every investment with these residents. Mm-hmm. And this is really, if we take in the approach that we're going to take 20 residents and then just hire the best two, then what we're doing for the kingdom is actually detrimental in a lot of ways, because we are letting down so many of these other candidates that are going through the experience and maybe not getting the attention that they need, not getting the hard conversations that they need, because it's more of a sink or swim mindset. Mm-hmm. rather than I'm going to help you through this and help you understand how to grow in each of these areas. So starting small was really big for us. And yeah, we absolutely are continuing to look for residents and onboard residents in different ministry areas. But it starts with one, just figuring out how to do it and also figuring out how to fail forward with one so that, because there's a lot of learning from my chair also, a lot of things that that I didn't know going in and that I needed to work through.
Very cool. Well, I wonder if you could speak to, Sean, if you could speak to the, you know, church leader who's listening in today that's a little bit skeptical, has maybe thought, oh, like maybe this residency is the next step, is intrigued enough. You know, what would you say to that person? And then, David, I'm going to ask you the same question. What would you say to a student who's maybe finishing up their seminary or ministry training and is trying to think through what their next step is? So, Sean, why don't we start with you? And maybe a church leader that's, you know, a little bit skeptical, is maybe interested, but is, you know, just not sure. What would you say to that individual?
Yeah, I would say start with one. Look for one resident that you could bring in and try something like this with. And even, you know, we help a lot of churches do this search as well with Leadership Pathway. So that gives us the opportunity to help find the candidate and then also help the church coach them throughout their experience. So starting with one just brings about so much good fruit of just learning. Even bringing in David on our team has brought so much energy and excitement. David brings such a great energy of humor and excitement to our team in the office and with our volunteers. I would say start with one is a great place to start.
That's great. What about you, David? What would you say to a student who's maybe thinking, oh, I'm, you know, not sure whether, like, maybe I should just go the more typical route and you know, jump in on a youth pastor job somewhere or some other, you know, thing somewhere, as opposed to like, maybe I should, you know, add residency to my kind of to my schooling experience. What would you say to them?
I would say jump for it, because like with me, like if I got hired as a pastor, I'd be like, somebody help. And all I would have is a senior pastor's help, and he's already has his hands full. But I would say as to a student that's just graduating, I'd say give residency a shot, because even though you're thinking like, man, I have two more years of learning, like we'd consider it learning. I'd say it's a huge investment as far as your ministry going forward and what you would want to do. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think there are, one of the reasons why I love Leadership Pathway, I love this organization, love what they're doing, is I do think they're solving an actual problem in the broader church. You know, there are, I was talking to a denominational leader recently who they were looking at their numbers and saying, and everyone knows this, like everyone has this statistic. They know something like this. You know, this particular denomination in the next 10 years is anticipating 1,500 pastors are retiring. And their ministry school is only graduating between 8 and 12 people in the pastoral track every year, which is crazy, right? There's this huge leadership crunch in the church, and we need things like Leadership Pathway, I think, really on both sides. We need great, well-worn, you know, part of why I think there's a great fit here is, you know, we talk at Unseminary about the stuff they didn't teach you in seminary. You know, so many church leaders end up, 10, 15 years into their ministry saying, man, they didn't teach me this. You know, and it's stuff that makes a huge difference. And a part of what Leadership Pathway is doing is helping young leaders actually get that training in a really practical way. And then I think just practically too many leaders are sitting, and I know are sitting there today, leaning back thinking, where's the next me come from? You know, I'm not sure where I'm going to find leaders. And so I think this is amazing. And so we're going to talk about this in a bit, but there's this toolkit that if you go, we'll put a link in the show notes to it. It's a toolkit for leaders that are thinking about, churches that are thinking about adding a residency. If you just go to Leadership Pathway, what do we got the address here? This is terrible.
.org/toolkit.
That will take you over there. We'll link to that. We'll also put it in this week's email, all that, so you can check it out. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. David and Sean, before I move on to the next part of the episode, is there anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you talked about how much this answers a problem for the church. And I think it really does answer something for the students as well, and for young people looking to get into ministry. And what that is, you know, I took an untraditional path into ministry. And so did David. And I think that there are lots of people out there that are on an untraditional path wondering, how do I get into ministry? Mm-hmm. What's the path look like for me? And while I think Bible college and seminary still do great things, you know, I think it's pretty clear that we can't, as the church, rely on that anymore as the thing that's going to produce the leaders that we need. So this allows us just to take a different approach, to really lean in on the problem and start one resident at a time.
This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode where we ask similar questions of everybody that's on the show. And I'm super excited for today's conversation. I found it fascinating, and I hope you are as well. We've got Sean Badir from LifeBridge Christian Church, a fantastic church you should be tracking with in Colorado. And then we've got David Ramirez, a resident, part of the Connections team, a great leader as well, that it would be good for you to track in on. Well, we've got a couple questions here. So the first one, maybe we'll start with you, Sean. John, what is a thing that you wish they taught in seminary that they didn't, but you use all the time? So, what's something that you know wish they would have, you would have learned in seminary?
Yeah, for me, it's Google Calendar. As stupid as that sounds, man.
That's great.
I think I was able to kind of get by in school without having to manage my calendar, and it was also like. I feel like it was just before maybe it was really in heavy use as a technology item. Mm. And so it was still there were still paper planners around, which, you know, some people use. It's great. But Google Calendar, man, has changed my life. It just runs my life so much and helps me really just be way more intentional with my time. And even somebody who likes to be spontaneous like me and personality helps me actually make the most of that spontaneity. I mean, as stupid as that sounds, it's helped me be so much more intentional.
No, that's very cool. David, I know you're early on in your journey, but is there anything you reflect back on? You think, man, I'm sure it's everything you're learning through the residency, but is there something that, you know, that you wish they would have taught you in school that, you know, that you use all the time?
Yeah, I think the biggest component is for me, rest. Like, I was always taught get on it, get on it, get on it. You live here, you live at this church. And I was like, whoa, whoa, hey, hold on. I found rest. Like I work out a lot and reading my Bible in the morning and finding rest in my friends and having a life mm-hmm. outside the church makes it, mm-hmm. and I use it all the time. Make sure to rest.
Nice. Yeah. Very cool. Good.
I have to add something on that just about David that he's not sharing in that too. One of the things that I saw in David early on when we first met that I love about him is his work ethic. And even during his residency now, he's working about 40 hours a week at the church and also keeping a part-time job. So his days off, he's out selling tires, discount tires.
Nice.
And he is a hardworking kid. Oh yeah. People at our church always want to know, can David get them a deal on tires? That's what they always want to know. his work ethic and ability to lean in and hunger to work hard is something I really admire. So yeah.
Nice. Very cool. Well, Sean, what is a book you've read in the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months to the year that is shaping your thinking in ministry?
Yeah, so I read The Hero Maker by Dave Ferguson and Warren Bird. And man, it's so good. And I just love, it's a really broad approach to this topic that we're talking about. You know, it looks at, you know, the job of every believer is to be a hero maker and to just constantly invest in and look for the talent in others. I just think that is such a cool concept that gets overlooked so often. And so many times, even I feel especially like this around young leaders in the church, we feel like we have so much to prove and so much to do that we forget that we are in a place where we need to be investing in the next person.
Well, why don't we, Sean, why don't we wrap up with you telling us about the residency toolkit? We want to make sure people get over to the website, get that downloaded. It's amazing. When I first saw this, I was like, man, this is exactly what churches need. And it's free, which is crazy to me. But why don't you tell us about the residency toolkit? It's available for download. We've got the links on the site. We'll also send it out through this week's email. But tell us about it.
Yeah, so this is built out of something, just a lot of questions that we've had from churches in those early stages of wanting to do residency. Mm-hmm. And so it's got everything from a host housing agreement, I think, is in there.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
Which is something I think we forget about. Like, I always forget about that one until the residents, like, moving here, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to find a place for them to live.
Right.
But the tools in there are all meant to help a church, no matter where you're at on this topic, even if you're farther down the road and looking for something to be helpful, or if you're nowhere near where you want to be, but want to get started.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate you guys being on the show. I appreciate you sharing. And again, I would encourage people to engage with Leadership Pathways, fantastic organization. You've obviously met Sean today. Dave Miller is a part of the organization. Great people, the kind of folks you want to track along with. We'll put links in the notes. David and Sean, appreciate you being on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, thank you so much for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.